Off the ball
on News Talk
in association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.
Welcome to a special Off the Ball podcast where we revisit this week's Borg Gosh Energy All-Ireland Under-21 Hurling Team of the Year Awards, which took place at Croke Park on Monday night. You can check out the full video of the night on the Borg Gosh Energy GAA Facebook page, which includes Ger in conversation with the judging panel, Joe Canning, Ken McGrath, Ger Cunningham and TG Carr's Micheál O'Donnell. And that's where we pick it up. Before the awards ceremony itself, here's the thoughts of the chairman of the panel, Ger Cunningham.
Obviously Limerick, from the point of view of being All-Ireland champions, you know, winning five games against the cream, really, against, you know, they came through a fantastic competition and fantastic campaign, you know, and, you know, nearly all their players were in contention to be selected. You know, they're really strong. You know, they won Munster, you know, handily, you know, freely, and, you know, the game against Galway was their toughest test. You know, but if you look at who they beaten, Clare, Limerick, Cork, Galway and Kilkenny, like, fantastic, you know, so.
Yeah. They don't do things easily. It was, you know, it was about the most difficult fixture list any team could have had, really.
Yeah, it was very tough. But I suppose, we're just saying it to Pat there, the manager, I suppose probably the one thing that was in their favour that probably fell their way this year, which is that maybe they look at the draw with under 21s, is that they had three home games in Munster, which is, you know, it's a nice plus to play because, you know, you get a nice attendance, home support. The opposition really probably don't travel in numbers, so, you know, and that's not taken away in any shape or form for their performances. But it's nice to get a, you know, to play their matches at home is lovely.
Yeah, for sure. Micheál, obviously everybody will recognise you from the TG Carr coverage over the last 20 years, effectively, but also particularly this year.
Thanks for reminding me.
You're at every game, though, so you actually have like a deep insight when it comes to who to pick and who not to pick. And it's difficult in the Under-21 Championship because it's knockout. So we can have some superstars in one game, their team gets beaten, and somebody has to make the case for them against somebody else who's played five games under intense pressure as well. So there's a balancing act here.
There is, and I suppose like every selection, when there are 15 players to be picked, you probably get the first five pretty quickly and unanimously. Then the next five, you might struggle a little bit and there's a bit more debate. And then the last five, really, that's the toughest part of it. So I suppose that's reflected in the team that we have. You know, as Ger said, a lot of the Limerick players put their hands up, but there was a lot more than Limerick participating in the competition, so we felt it only fair to reach out to other counties and to look at what they offered to the 21 Championship this year. And I think we got a good team out of it in the wind-up.
Before we talk any more about that, just from TG Carr's perspective, it's one of the highlights of the summer. Like, we love sitting there watching these games in the office. It's nice when in the middle of the summer on a Wednesday night you'd stick on the TV and there's a game between two teams who are absolutely going for it because it's knockout. Mm. It's like one of the last pure knockout things in world sport, really.
It is, and you know, I'm not saying it because I'm here, but it's actually one of the competitions I enjoy most. You know, we're around the country, as you mentioned, doing lots of different competitions, but that sense of everything is absolutely on the line, you know, that's very tangible. You know, it's very different, say, to the league where, you know, players come and go and they sort of sometimes don't want to give you too much after it, but you just see the joy out of the players when they get through the latest hurdle in the under-21 and the devastation for the teams that lose. And I'm delighted that, you know, after what the discussions at Special Congress on Saturday, that the under-21 was left to a degree alone, but that it also includes, you know, the likes of Galway and Leinster for next year.
Yeah,
I think that's going to be a serious addition too.
Yeah, just talk to us a bit about that, Joe, because obviously the senior team have been in Leinster for ages now and it's worked really well, and it kind of felt like the next natural step was to have the underage teams. We're getting there, but the under-21 is a great start.
Yeah, it's brilliant for us. It's something that we've been probably knocking on the door for since even the seniors got in and with the minors for the last number of years. So it'll be brilliant for the under-21s and the under-17s next year to get competitive games. I know it's knockout, but at the same time, it'll progress hurlers if we actually go and win the thing, you know what I mean? This year, we can only play two matches at most. So if you could play four or five and win it out, that'd be brilliant for the development of guys at under-21 level for us anyway.
Yeah, what did you make of the standard this year?
Yeah, it was top quality, you know. I remember watching the Waterford and Cork match. Sorry, I know about that, Ken, to bring it up, but like, you obviously thought Waterford were going to win it, and then Cork stole it in the last puck of the game, you know. Them kind of matches, they're pretty special, and even the semi-final, you know, with the Galway cap on, I suppose we didn't know what to expect from our guys going into it because it was our first match. But Limerick overall certainly 100% deserved every bit of winning it. They had a phenomenal team, and you know, they had a lot of guys, I suppose, that was bred at senior level even this year as well on that team. So that obviously helped the under 21 set up because they had the big day game experience, you know.
Yeah, Ken, obviously Waterford have been really good at this grade in recent years. You've had some superstar teams come through, not quite to be this year, but you can totally see the benefit of a strong run from an under 21 team. It's deep into the summer, there's big crowds, there's a proper championship element to it. It's the perfect breeding ground.
Yeah, look, you'd see what a player's made of. I think, look, it's probably hurling at his most rawest, knockout championship. You can't beat it. And that's why I think it's getting more and more popular on the grade, you know. And I'm delighted it wasn't touched the weekend. Bar Galway coming in, I think that's a great move. I think, look, it's definitely, as you said, Wednesday nights there, when the games are on, you're sitting there watching them, you're not going anywhere for that hour and a half. And over the last couple of years, over the last 5-10 years, the games have been top-notch, you know. And look, Waterford had a great year last year. Limerick had a great year this year. There was a kind of swagger about Limerick from the very start, you know. And that's 2 in 3 years, which is fair achievement.
Yeah, and not a sweeper in sight.
Not a sweeper in sight. Well, Ger wasn't managing any of them, so they were grand. I suppose the 21 grade is probably there's not many sweepers inside. It's teams going out and trying to win, and it's knockout, and teams feel they probably have to go at it, and you've 1 year maybe at it with a team, and then the team has changed, and so you haven't really 2 or 3 years to develop teams. So most teams are going at it, and thankfully the sweeper hasn't infiltrated under 21 yet, but that's not to say it won't in the next couple of years, you know.
The great thing about it is that, like, characters who we don't really know that much about kind of emerged. The Westmeath goalkeeper this year, Micheál, was somebody who played really well against Kilkenny. Kilkenny, there was a bit of doubt about how well they were going to play in that game. They'd obviously been shocked recently enough in similar circumstances, and it looked for a while like this one-man Viking was going to keep them at bay on his own.
He was, Sean Maher. He'd an incredible... I suppose an incredible story coming into it, first of all. You know, he had been an extra in the Vikings series, I think. And when you saw him, you knew why. He has the long hair and he's a big, strong man. And he threw everything. I mean, actually, everything Kilkenny threw at him that night, he rebuffed it. And he came out and he was arms and legs swinging and hurls and swashbuckling style. And he did much the same. I saw a YouTube clip of him playing in goal for his club side in football. And he did exactly the same. The full forward comes in, bounces off the goal, he goes flying. Then the corner forward, and he drove everybody aside. So, look, individuals like him are part of what the competition is about as well. I mean, I suppose one of the things that makes the under 21 grade special is that, you know, there's probably an attrition, or a rate of attrition in the competition in terms of who gets on to play senior. This may be the last time that guys are in the national spotlight, let's say, some players. And I think, you know, on the basis of, I suppose, every year, right enough, the senior teams are getting younger and younger. But I know for the people who are involved in the under 21 grade that the medal that they win, and I know even from talking to Pat Donnelly, when Limerick brought home the cup this year, he said, you know, I don't know what we would do if Limerick ever won a senior, because the adulation that we were greeted with for winning an under 21 was just surpassed, I suppose, what anybody expected.
Yeah. What is that experience like going from being an under 21 All-Ireland winner to an actual All-Ireland winner?
So long ago, I suppose, now since I won the under 21. Yeah, they're pretty special. But the one thing, I suppose, is that it's about making the step up of the couple of teams that I was on at under 21 level. I think there's like 4 of us still involved at senior level. So, and I played under 21 for 4 years. So that's 1 a year that's still playing. So you have to kind of make the step up and grasp that as well, and try and become better, because obviously it took us long enough. We won a couple of under 21s and it didn't really turn to success so soon. So, and it was the same, I suppose. Limerick won the 3 in a row a good few years ago now, I suppose, and 2 out of the last 3. So it's up to them guys, I suppose, to drive it on and win Munster and hopefully the All-Ireland then.
Yeah, it's not very clear who the talent that's going to come through from this age group and make it in senior generally, Ger, except you're credited with being the man who handpicked the hurlers when Bord Gáis Energy launched their sponsorship at the under 21 championship. You picked Joe Canning, Seamus Callanan, Paul Murphy, Liam Rush and
Patrick Horgan.
Mm. And there was one more from Antrim. So five out of six, not bad.
Yeah, well, again, you look at, as Joe said, the age profile of guys coming through, that you can nearly spot the talent coming through, you nearly spot the great guys. And we kind of try to spread the ambassadors across the country, and I think the guys that we picked were probably standout players then, even what they are now.
Yeah, because then they all ended up coming back for the launch of the actual thing this year. Kind of counting the All-Ireland medals and the All-Stars. So, how do you tell who's going to make it? Like, what do you look for when you're looking at...
Well, you look, from the point of view of... I suppose you look at guys across the country and you the guys getting younger and younger. They're all probably playing senior at that stage. And, you look for a guy that to be an ambassador from the point of view that a guy could be able to, obviously, maybe the first thing is to perform on the field, that he has a skill level. And at the same time that, we're taking a bit of a punt at times with guys that we think might come true. And, we sit down and we have a look at them and, but at the same time, there's a lot to pick from. And I don't think the guys that we picked, if we pick someone else, they'd have come through as well.
They also have to look good in front of the camera, right? That's the main thing when it comes to these launches. Ken, we should talk about the Senior Hurling Championship. Obviously, that's the other big thing from the weekend. It has been significantly revamped, and there's now going to be much more opportunity for us to see our favourite hurlers at inter-county level playing against each other in big games across the summer. This can really only be a good thing?
Yeah, look, it's more games. Talking to Aidan out in the outside and we're saying, I think there's 16 games in the Munster Championship next year, which can only be good. And look, there's no point in training from the county players that are probably back, even some train next month and 7 or 8 months to play two or three games. You want to play games. You're playing a sport to play matches, and you can only judge players on championship hurling, And it's not going to be easy. You're going to get four tough games, and I think every game is going to mean something, especially in Munster and Leinster, but every game is going to mean something, and you get on a good start in that and you get 2 points on the board, if it's 2 points per game, we don't know yet. But look, it's going to be good home and away. It's good to see championship games back in Wedge Park as well. It's good to see the game being spread around and seeing the top players and seeing the likes of Joe coming to Wedge Park and in front of a big crowd championship match. That's what it's about, and that's the only way the game will grow. By playing these big games, games that mean something,
Yeah, Joe, what did you make of it?
Personally, it's great to get a championship game in Galway City, because especially for the kids, and especially if you want to develop the game in our home county, because the atmosphere, the marketing around it will be hopefully brilliant for the promotion of the game in the west of Ireland. Because sometimes, even if you're in Connemara, it's still an hour the far side of Galway City, and they don't really sometimes get to journey the three and a half hours to Croke Park or even to Tullamore for a Leinster Championship game. So if you have the likes of Richie Hogan and TJ Reid coming to Pierce Stadium next summer, I'm sure there's going to be kids flocking just to see them alone, So it's brilliant for the promotion of the game across all of Ireland, really,
The more games thing that Ken talks about, this kind of, it becomes part of a discussion about player welfare and are you playing too much? But actually, you would have been training anyway, so I guess you prefer to play games every 2 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. We train too much and play too little, I think is the thing. Every player would tell you that they'd love to play every 2 weeks. Maybe not every week. Your body could be a bit too sore after some of the matches, but definitely every two to three weeks, that's what you want to do. When you're growing up, you dream of playing matches, you don't dream of training. So that's what we want to do anyway, and the more matches the better,
Yeah. Jerry, I guess as a recently retired, permanent paused momentarily inter-county manager, have to be careful about that one. Would you have preferred much more games, particularly with a young team? You want to get them out there and playing, and it's an opportunity if they make mistakes to get out and fix it 2 weeks later?
100%. I think I agree with what the lads said. From a Dublin point of view, I suppose, to actually have two home games next year, probably in Parnell Park, would be absolutely fantastic for the promotion of the game. It's in a city dominated by football, it's great to have the opportunity that, that maybe Kilkenny or Galway as All-Ireland champions will be coming to Parnell Park next year. So I think it's fantastic. The more games, the better. And with an opportunity, serious opportunity to get to the quarterfinal of the All-Ireland and probably even further.
Yeah, because I think there's an assumption that everybody wants to play the big games always in Croke Park. But actually, a small venue totally filled for a championship encounter, that's pretty sensational, right?
Oh, I'm not sure when the last championship game was played in Parnell Park. I think or even sometimes during the league, we play some of our games in Croke Park. And, you know, that's all great for the development of players in Dublin, but at the same time, it's probably an advantage to the opposition that they play in Croke Park. I don't think any of the teams in Leinster will be looking forward to going to Parnell Park next year to play Dublin. So I think it'll be good for the game, and I think it'll you know, hopefully, as you say, we get big crowds there, that the crowds will actually flock to the games. Look forward to seeing hopefully the All-Ireland champions come to Parnell Park next year and taking them on.
Ken, how has the wake been in Waterford since the All-Ireland final?
No, look, I'll be honest, it's not as bad as 2008, put it that way. But no, it was the first All-Ireland final, obviously, in 9 years, and they performed well enough. With 3 or 4 minutes to go, there was very little in the game, you know. And we won't be Rog Galway. We see what Joe and the players have gone through over the years as well, and that's, I think, their third final in the last 4 or 5 years. It's our first. It's a learning game. Once you learn from, take the learning curve from that game in the Ireland final and build on it for next year. As I did, they performed well enough all year. And to get to the final in front of 82,000 people and play up to that level and be a point or two in it with very little time to go, once you get take the positives from it and build for next year. As we said early on, back in Waterford, it took Galway 2 or 3 times to play that level. And Galway playing steady all year, getting 23, 24 points. And we have to probably develop a small bit more and push on a small bit. I think they will. I think if once they take the positives from it and grow and really push on next year, they're going to be thereabouts again, you know.
That's the thing, really. With your team, it kind of felt like you reached an All-Ireland a couple of years after your peak, that you could have reached an All-Ireland final any time up to that point, and you probably would have performed better than you did when you eventually got there. With this team, last year was a semi-final, beaten after a replay against Kilkenny. This year, they reached the final. They're very close. Like, at least that curve, it's no guarantee, but at least the curve for this team is going in the right direction, and the age profile is right.
Yeah, there's no guarantee, but they're definitely a different stage where we were when we got to the final. The team is probably on its last legs, to be honest with you, and we probably should have gotten to a final 3 or 4 years before that on numerous occasions, and we didn't take the chance that we had. But this team have gradually gone up and up over the last 2-3 years and got to the final this year. Once they learn from it and take it, it's a huge occasion, it's a huge day. As Joel will tell you, it takes a while to get used to the whole kind of way about the build-up, the weekend of the game, how excited you are. Holding the nerves back and unleashing your hurling on that day, you know. Galway have, this is their third final and they've done it. So Waterford have to really, really learn from it. I said they're definitely going in the right direction. The age profile of the team is good. They will need, I think, they'll need to progress a bit more in what way they're trying to do. Try and be a small bit more positive in it, which I think they did as the year went on, as the year progressed this year. They got better and better.
Yeah.
I think some of the wins they had this year, especially the win over Kilkenny, historically, we found it so hard to beat them. And to beat them that day in Turris was huge for them and gave them a lift. And they'll never fear Kilkenny again, I don't think, you know. And beating Cork in the semi-final. Unfortunately, look, I think we came against a better team. Galway, I think, were slightly better. Easier to get scores. And that's the way they were all year. But there's no shame in that defeat, to be honest with you. Where 2008, they were... 2008, you couldn't. You're afraid to walk outside the door. Where these lads can hold their head up high, go back playing club championship, and just try and learn and build for next year.
Yeah, Joe. How important was that experience of actually being through the whole occasion and having somebody to look after the request for tickets and whatever the bits and pieces you just learn in the build-up?
Yeah, I suppose for maybe a lot of the senior guys, like 2015, obviously went through it, but there wasn't too many guys there from 2012. And obviously new management and stuff like that as well. So it was important leading up to it that the senior players went through that and could relate to the younger guys, you know, that might have been there for the first time or whatever, or even their second time, because days like that, you don't really get used to them in a way. Every year is different no matter what. But it was just, I suppose... we had enough of losing in a way, and that kind of drove us on. We didn't want to lose a third All-Ireland in the last number of years, and we didn't want to make it 11 championship games either losing to Waterford, you know. It was only our first time in I think 11 matches that we ever beat Waterford, so you know, you kind of just wanted to change a little bit of history as well, you know.
Your start was amazing. Like, it was one of the best starts to an All-Ireland final that we've seen. Everybody was playing really well.
Yeah, we were efficient, you know. We couldn't have got a better start, I suppose. And then you know, fair play to Waterford, they came back into it. And we always knew, like, you know, every team gets a period of dominance, and we got ours in the first couple of minutes, and they got up theirs there after that for a good while, and it was nip and tucked in the whole way. And like, if you wanted to play a team in an All Ireland, you wouldn't want to play Waterford because it's so long since they won it as well. So in a way, it was for either team to lose, you didn't begrudge the other team to win. In a way, I think that's kind of fair to say, and it kind of really showed that after the final when the play Crow Park was actually full nearly.
Yeah.
I remember being at the All-Ireland last year, and when the cup was being presented, I think nearly half the stadium was empty. So that was pretty special that, you know, both counties stayed there. And
that was because nobody likes Tip, apart from Tip people. I think we can all agree on that, right? Sure, we're only live on Facebook. It's grand. Michal, you're a Waterford man, so, you know, this is difficult for you, but at the same time.
Yeah, well, I've been sitting here listening to Ken and to Ger and to Joe. But I'm thinking, anybody watching in Waterford is probably saying, there's Ken, the Waterford man on one side, and me on the other, and Joe, the meat and the sandwich here. What would we be able to do to maybe try and keep him a small bit quieter leading on into next year? But I think for Waterford, I'd agree with Ken. I think it's a positive year. You know, last year we got as far as an All-Ireland semi-final. This year as far as an All-Ireland final. And I think the next steps should be to make sure that the management team is retained and that commitment is given so that there's no uncertainty. I think Derek definitely deserves another chance. I think that'd be the feeling in Waterford. And I hope he's able to commit himself. And I also think that in terms of the players, it'd be a good idea to find out what Rick Welsh's intentions are, what Kevin Moran's intentions are, and just to make sure that everybody pushes on together. We saw that despite the devastation, I'm sure, that Mayo people felt and continue to feel, one of the little shining lights that they had after losing the All-Ireland to Dublin was when Andy Moran said he was going to stick around for another year. So I think for Waterford, positive. Next year is a big year, and I think that if they can push on another small bit, who knows?
Yeah. Ger, what do you think about that? How close really are Waterford at this point?
I think they're very close. I think, you know, you look at the, speaking about the under-21s, you know, they were All-Ireland champions last year. They have an awful lot of talent coming through. I probably would agree with Ken. I think that, you know, that if they can keep that team together, they've got, you know, even some of the subs they have in the forward line, especially if you've got good subs and good forwards, I think there's a real plus. And, you know, Maurice Shanahan, Stephen Bennett, Patrick Curran didn't get starting with Waterford this year. You know, they're serious hurlers and they're serious forwards. And I think that, I think if they get a chance of starting next year and maybe, you know, maybe trust their forwards a bit more rather than, you know, having to play the extra man in the defence, I think they're, you know, they're going to be there thereabouts.
Yeah, because it was a bit of pressure on them, really, from the Waterford public and from the hurling cognoscenti, who were saying that they needed to do a bit more and to be a bit more creative. And over the course of the summer, they found a way to do that. It's difficult not to listen too much to what's being said outside, and yet at the same time to live in the real world.
Yeah, but I think if you were in Derek McGrath's head, I think, you know, he really is, you know, he's stuck to his principles. He obviously believes in the system that he has going for him. He believes it's a system, obviously, from his team that this works for them. You know, and who's to argue with him, really, if they came so close to winning it? You know, but I think that, you know, the consensus is that I think that he has the players, I think, even the subs, to push on. And you know, it'll be a subtle change. I think he, obviously, you need to defend as well from the point of view of making sure you don't concede. But I think, like, the fact that he has got some quality forwards in reserve to be able to push on a bit further. And I think if De Bricken and Kevin Moran stay there, they'll be serious contenders again.
Just before we go on this part, tell us just how great was this Galway team this year? Because, again, to come back from defeat, we've seen how difficult it is for the Mayo footballers. That's the hallmark of true greatness, is to be able to be down and to come back and to overcome all of the obstacles that are in your way.
Yeah, they were seriously resilient this year. You know, I think this, you know, from the start of the year, the, from a Dublin point of view, we went to Tullamore like with great hopes to beat them, and you know, they blew us out of the water, really, in a sense. And you know, they played some super hurling. They were physically imposing as well. They're a big team, but I think just people sensed that this was going to be Galway's year early on. You know, their performance in the league final against Tipperary, you know, no matter what Tip did, like, Galway just blew them away, and I think that the confidence they got from that, I think, really set them up for the year. And, you know, they were seriously impressive and absolutely worthy All-Ireland champions.
I know Joe won't like me asking this, but can they go back-to-back?
Well, absolutely. I think your situation, but you know, this could be the fact that is
you can't tip them all. Like, the all the
but I said about. Maybe the fact of their own robin is going to be you know maybe slightly changing the small, but they're going to have to you know you have to peak. You're going to have to you could you know maybe five or six times rather than two or three times. You know what I mean? So they certainly are capable of going back to back, no doubt.
All right. Well, that's enough talking from us. I realise that most of you are here to accept an award or to be at least in the running as well for the Hurler of the Year awards. So I'm going to leave in the capable hands of Michal and Ger for now. Thanks very much, folks.
So a season which began in late May and finished on the 9th of September, with Limerick winning the title for the sixth time and their second title in 3 years. And we now get to the stage of the evening where we meet the players and where the awards are given out. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through this position by position, and then we'll bring a group of players up. So starting with the goalkeeper and the full back lines, and we're going to have a wee bit of a chat. The awards are going to be presented, and then we move on. So in the goalkeeping position, there were three people nominated for each position. And in the goalkeeping position, the nominees were Owen McNamara of Limerick, Sean Maher of Westmeath, and Darren Brennan from Kilkenny. And the winner is Darren Brennan. Well done, Darren. So into the full back line. And at right corner back, three nominees were Sean O'Donoghue from Cork, Declan Cronin of Galway, and Sean Finn from Limerick. And the winner, Sean Finn. At full back, the three nominees were Conor Delaney from Kilkenny, Dara Fanning from Limerick, and Conor Prunty from Waterford. And the number three jersey, Conor Delaney of Kilkenny. And at left corner back, the three nominees, Dan Joy from Limerick, Sean Loftus from Galway, and Dara Lyons from Waterford, and the winner, Sean Loftus from Galway. Okay, so well done, lads. So, Ger, I know you're a signed up fan of the goalkeeping union, obviously. Maybe just in terms of, say, Darren's role for Kilkenny and maybe the changing role of goalkeepers, especially in this year's championship. I know we discussed for a long time the merits of the different nominees, and it was a difficult one to pick out, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, Michal. I think, you know, we spoke about the role of goalkeeper has been changing in hurling. I think the standard situation of what a goalkeeper does, you know, that he, you know, goalkeepers being able to do the basics in relation to, you know, your shot stopping, your handling, communication, whatever. But I think the way the game has gone, I think the whole thing has evolved now where the goalkeeper gets 30 puck outs a game and that he's a source of main possession. And I think even at senior level, you see the way the game has gone, that, you know, that being able to puck out the ball accurately to a guy 20 yards, 40 yards, 60 yards away is becoming a huge part of the game. So I think the evolution of it is really, really changing. And, you know, I think the standard of goalkeeping this year with the under-21s was really strong. We had a tough debate about it in relation to who got picked, but in fairness to Darren, he's, you know, absolute worthy winner. I think he was really good all year. I think he played five games, which is always the conundrum in relation to trying to pick a team or trying to pick a position. Do you go with a guy like Sean Maher, who had a fantastic one game against Kilkenny, and look at the lads like Owen and Darren, who played matches all the way through the championship? So it was really good all year.
Darren, you've had a month to sort of digest the defeat at this stage. I'm sure you're back with clubs, but I don't know, is the memory of the defeat in Thurles that day gone yet?
It's not really yet, but I think we knew that Limerick hurled well that day, and we kind of had to face the fact that they were the better team on the day. And sure, look, it's always going to be a sickener, really. Like, when you go home to your clubs, even thinking about, you're going to be sickened over losing in All-Ireland, but in fairness to Limerick, they were the better team on the day, so you have to hand it to them.
Did the fact that it looked, anyway, at least from the outside, that Limerick had had a tougher route than ye had had, and bearing in mind how much you won the semi-final by, were you a little bit undercooked coming into the final, do you think?
Limerick had a tough match in the semi-final, but our preparation was going to be the same anyway. We were going to prepare like we were going to be playing Limerick in an All-Ireland final. We had to prepare to be hitting a fierce good team, like, as well. So I don't think it would have been any different. We would have been preparing for Limerick anyway. So.
And Conor, I might move over to you because I suppose last year the team went up to Mullingar and lost to Westmeath and they kind of shook the hurling world, I suppose, and I'm sure you got plenty of flack for it back in Kilkenny. So this year, despite losing the final, would you still consider it a successful year?
Well, I suppose any year you win a Leinster Championship or competing in All-Ireland, you could look at it as a success, but suppose that haven't really had, Kilkenny haven't had much success at this grade. So I suppose looking back on it, you probably would say it is successful in one way, but I suppose ultimately the goal was to win the All-Ireland and we failed to do that, but just lost out to a better team on the day.
I know from speaking with Eddie Brennan a few times during the campaign, he was really stressing this step up in physicality that, you know, you guys had competed very well at minor level. As you say, it was 2008 since you last won an under-21 title. And he said, look, the under-21 is really a proxy senior grade at this stage in terms of the physicality. Do you think that maybe in the exchanges, you know, that dirty ball that we always consider Kilkenny teams are able to win, that you didn't win enough of them in the final and that Galway or that Limerick maybe out-muscled you to some degree in that final?
Yeah, I suppose there was a number of factors why Limerick won that day, and I suppose physicality and what everything else they brought to it were major factors. But I suppose just that and amongst other things, probably scoring more than us had a fair bit to do with it as well. Like, but
it probably did by the end of the day.
I suppose we won't worry too much about it.
Yeah. Says the fullback, putting me in my box. Okay. Sean Finn, congratulations. What's it been like the last few weeks?
Yeah, we enjoyed the first couple of days now after the game. We club championship that weekend and we kind of settled down that. But I think some of the lads are probably still enjoying the celebrations as they're going on, yeah.
Have you been around to the schools and have you seen sort of this filtering through to inspire maybe the next generation of young Limerick hurlers?
Yeah, a lot of lads are picking up the cups there during the week and bringing out to local schools and local clubs as well. But that's the great thing about winning these cups. You can bring it back to where it all began. You begin your hurling in the clubs and the schools, and it's great to see the delight and the pride that it brings to schools and clubs like that, you know.
I have to ask you, you were one of the team in 2014 that lost the minor final, isn't that right, to Kilkenny?
Yeah.
So you were waiting for a long time for this day.
Yeah, that's probably one of the last things I was probably said in the huddle there before the game. A lot of lads probably felt that hurt since 2014. It's not easy lose a final like that. Maybe thinking that we're probably the better team of the day, but not in the day, but coming up to the game. But look, it's great to be able to play. We're probably looking towards Kilkenny since the start of the year, and it would be great to play them in the final. But yeah, it's great to have overcome that with a 21 victory.
Okay, nice big smile there as well. I want to go over to Sean finally, Sean Loftus. Sean, I suppose you were disadvantaged. You were the last Galway team to come in that late into the competition. Obviously, things are going to change next year. You were very close to Limerick in the semi-final. You were level with 59 minutes gone, and it was the 3 points in additional time that swung it for Limerick. So, regrets?
Yeah, I suppose we were with them up until 55, 59 minutes, and then Limerick pulled away. You could see the games under their hand, and I suppose we went in cold, you know, and that was our first game. But fair play to Limerick. We knew well the talent they had. They had loads of lads there on the senior team starting for them, and fair play to them. They went all the way, and that's the way to do it.
And what do you think now about this rejigged championship? You'll be playing next year at under-21, so it'll be different.
Yeah, lucky enough now I'm underage again next year. So, yeah, we've been asking for it for the last couple of years, I suppose, and it's the best thing, you know. It develops players along the way, and you know, I think it's the best thing that could happen for Galway hurling, really.
All right, well, congratulations to all four of you. So we have Darren Brennan, Sean Finn, Conor Delaney and Sean Loftus. And thanks, Chair. So I'd now invite Ken McGrath to come up to present the next awards. And just for your information, I know you'd be anxious to get some photographs taken. If you can wait until the very end, we'll have loads of opportunities for people to take photos up here on stage. So into the half-back line, and Ken is going to present these awards. So at right half-back, the three nominees were Darren Brown from Cork, Jack Grealish from Galway, and Ronan Lynch from Limerick. And the winner, Ronan Lynch. At number six, Conor Gleeson of Waterford, Kieran Steele from Derry, and Kyle Hayes from Limerick were the nominees, and the winner, Kyle Hayes. And at left halfback, the three nominees were Jason Clear from Kilkenny, Tom Grimes from Limerick, and Mark Coleman from Cork, and the winner, Jason Clear. So Ken, I'll go to you first before we hand over to the lads. Your impression of the competition that we had, I suppose, for these three positions and the performances of the three lads.
The three lads were fantastic all year, and three dominant performances all year. Ronan had a great season, and some of his long range free taking was top notch, and the striking was brilliant. Kyle was absolutely fantastic and dominated game after game, and his Ireland final performance was excellent, you know. Jason as well had a great season. His striking left and right and his reading the game was... Look, the three boys play as proper half-backs, and that's probably the joys of watching our 3-1 grade as well. There's a lot of old-school hurling, getting the ball in, and that's the way I like to play, what I like to see as well. And the three lads can mix their game up, but three fantastic players and well-deserved to be up here on a very strong line in the field.
Okay, well done, lads. Ronan, sorry, this is your second year winning the award. I think last year it was at midfield, so back to your more the role we might be more used to seeing you at, I suppose, in the half-back line. I felt that your graph went up as the year went on. Would you say that the final was your best game?
I suppose any day you go out, you're looking to do your best, and thankfully the game went okay for me in the final, and John, maybe I progressed as it went along, maybe I didn't, but John, I felt as a whole I performed okay all year, and thankfully we got over the line in the final and did okay.
Yeah, you're a veteran at this age group now at this stage, I suppose.
I don't know about that, I don't know about that, but sure, I think moving on next year, I've had a fantastic time with it at under 21 level, be it club and county. So as the lads were alluding to earlier, it's a fantastic age group and it's a fantastic level to play at. So I was extremely happy to be lucky enough to play in an under 21 team for the last couple of years with Limerick, and I think it's a Limerick hurling at that level is in a very good place as well. So, as I think Joe was alluding to earlier, the big step for all of us at this grade is to move on to senior level. And at the end of the day, it is a competition that's developing players to move on to senior level, and that's the main goal. So hopefully we can get as many players from Limerick to move on to that level as possible.
All right, for one man who has bedded in his place in the senior team is Kyle. At full forward, I mean, how did you end up playing in the middle of the half-back line?
I suppose really I kind of played in the backs of my club there last year. This was my first time playing there, so I'd say the lads probably, Pat was aware of it last year, with the minor as well, he was a manager, so he probably was aware I was playing there at that time, and I played a match, a friendly actually, against Cork up Martinstown for first time. He tried me half-back and then centre-back then, and kind of took off from there then really, yeah.
I have to ask you, which you prefer, full forward or centre-back?
I suppose centre-back at stage, you can get more physical and stuff, but... It's grand in the forwards, all right, you get handy your old ball. But I suppose centre-back at the moment, yeah.
Jason, I suppose, you know, tis nice maybe to be nominated for the team of the year, but I just gather from you, you look disappointed, are you? You must be still mulling over what happened in September.
Ah, yeah, it's hard to take, in fairness, but obviously winning the war is a bit of justice, but still, you picked Ireland over any day, so kind of... Bit of regrets, but still, it's nice.
And what did Eddie say to you afterwards? He must have talked to you a few times in the aftermath of the game.
I did, yeah. Obviously, he was proud of us, how far we came and all. Just knowing kind of the way we could have done more in the final, but that was down to Limerick just being the better team and holding us back and all. But Eddie was disappointed, obviously, like the rest of us, but sure, we gave it our all, and it wasn't good enough.
Now, you've already made the step up onto the senior panel. There is a lot of talk about maybe... there's a gap now that Kilkenny maybe have to really mind this under 21 team. Do you think that there might be three or four that Brian might call in for the winter and get them give them a bit of league time, maybe with a view to putting them in the deep end come summer?
Oh, yeah, there was a lot of us last year in training and all. Only a few of us played matches now, but I'm sure they make a few more and make the step up now over the league because, actually, you know, like, it's good to blood players in early. Like.
And I suppose there is a bit of pressure now. Fellas are probably telling you there's a Gansey there for fellas to fill in the next couple of years.
There is, yeah, because a lot of lads have left now and it's up to us to step it up now because we lost this year and all and we can't afford like to same result next year. So people have to step up now and there's plenty of lads to step into positions and get the jersey if they want it more.
And Kyle, I suppose just a final one for you. You know, this is all about progression and Limerick have won two of these now in the last 3 years, 221 titles. So the impact or the possible impact now that this might have on senior hurling in the county?
Yeah, I think it's fairly obvious the talent is there in Limerick. Like, and I think this new championship structure is definitely going to suit us. Like, we'll have a lot more games to prove ourselves. Like, I think this year, the year that's gone there, like, we improved. Like, the first time against Clare, we probably didn't play at our full capability. But against Kilkenny, I think we improved a lot. Like, I think if we're getting four matches, I think we'll definitely push on and hopefully we'll show actually what we can do next year. Like.
All right. Well done to Ronan, to Kyle and to Jason who fill our half-back line positions. So to centre field now and our three nominees for the number 8 jersey were Ger Brown from Tipperary, Luke Scanlon from Kilkenny and Colin Ryan from Limerick. And the winner is Colin Ryan from Limerick. And the second midfield berth goes to one of these three nominees. We have Dan Nevin from Galway, Colm Roach from Waterford, and Robbie Hanley from Limerick. And it's Robbie Hanley. So, Colin and Robbie, well done to you both. You saw plenty of each other throughout the summer. 5 games, Colin. I don't know. I mean, it was obviously, as I think Joe possibly mentioned earlier, it was the toughest route that could have been taken. How did you manage to sort of block it off to say, look, there's only the game that's ahead of us there that we can win without thinking too far ahead?
Yeah, I suppose at the start of the year, we took it game by game. Like, you know, we didn't look too far ahead. I knew, like, we knew we had a good team and stuff, but I suppose every game, we were half favourites going in, but in fairness, we kept level-headed, like, you know, and as you say, we took it game by game, and yeah, that was it. Like.
So, that was the announcement of the Bord Gáis Energy All-Ireland Under-21 Hurling Team of the Year from the goalie position up to midfield. It was Limerick who also dominated the half-forward line. Aaron Gillan and Keane Lynch were named at right and left-wing forward, with Declan Dalton of Cork taking the number 11 jersey. Let's pick it up a little bit later when Micheál O'Donnell spoke to the trio. He began by asking Aaron Gillan about the added pressure that comes with being the free taker in the Limerick setup.
I don't know really. Let's patch have no pep put me on him to start the year, so it's my job. Like, if I'm not scoring them, someone else will be on them. So, I know, thankfully, I went over your play. I missed 2 at the weekend at the club, and I don't know, some days you'll be scoring them all, some days you could miss a few, but look, keep practicing and do the best you can do.
What's it been like as part of that forward unit that was talked about an awful lot? I suppose everybody tried to get your number. You know, you began the championship by pretty much shooting the lights out against Tipperary and then Clare, so everybody knew that you were danger men. Did you feel that? You know, it was obviously difficult for defences to deal with you, but were you having to come up with new plans for each game?
No, I don't think so. I think, to be fair, like, we weren't dependent on one forward in every match. I think, like, there was no pressure going into matches because, like, Keane can play unreal in the first match and the next day go to maybe, like, Barry Nash or Tom. I don't know, so there wasn't no pressure. Like, you can go out and just hurl. So, and I think that's when you're playing best, when you can go out and just play with freedom.
Yeah, well, you got man the match in 2 games, I think. You're the only one who got 2 of them. So, yeah, that's the case in point. Declan, I want to ask you. You started life out as a goalkeeper not too long ago, 2 years ago with Cork, wasn't it, with the minors? And here you are scoring 112 from centre forward against Waterford in the semi-final. How does that happen?
Well, I only had 1 game on field, actually 2 games on field before Waterford game. I had a half a game against Limerick and a game against Clare.
Signs and, on you.
Just when I came on field against Limerick, it kind of just changed. Like, I play on field in my club, like, and it's just nothing different. So it just comes both ways to me.
Was that Waterford game just one of those days, one of those evenings?
As you know yourself, like, sometimes they go over, sometimes they don't. Like, and it's just just that day, like, just everything went over against Limerick. Like, we could have won, they could have won. It was kind of hit and tuck, so we didn't know which way it was going to go. Like,
Tim, when he was brought on as sub in that Waterford game, he kind of created a bit of havoc, and he was pulled down, I think, for the penalty. And you, knowing, I suppose, as you did, that was the last puck of the game, you were 2 points down. And go on, talk us through what happens at that stage. How do you get yourself settled?
Yeah, like, Tim's a great player. Like, Tim's a great player. So when he came on, he took on the defender and he got it free. And so it was, thank God it was a penalty. Like, but if it was me, it was someone else. Like, so I was just, you know, I'm the free taker. Like, so he was the one who had to stand up. So just I picked it up and hit it. And just thank God I went in. Like, I could have mishit it completely. Like, so. It's just one of them things, like one of them days.
Kian, I think he had beaten, was it Clare the previous night? Was it was? Yeah. So you were probably at home watching that game, were you? The one that was
I actually didn't, to be honest. I wouldn't really watch the other games because you'd be fearful of playing. Who are you playing? I know you start messing with your head, like, but we saw the highlights on Facebook, right, and saw him burying the goal. So we were kind of saying, here we go now, like, you know. So, look, we knew starting at the start of the year, like, we never looked too forward, like we said, Tipperary was the first team. If we got over that, Clare, and luckily enough, we got to play Cork in the All-Ireland final. And Pat kind of set it in stone that every game as it comes, and luckily enough, we got over it.
And you got man the match in that Munster final against Cork. You obviously had your homework done on Declan. He was kept a little bit quieter than he had been against Waterford. That bit of planning and that bit of strategy, how much of that comes into the play when you're leading up to a game?
It's huge, like, you know, you see it at all levels. The way it's gone now, it's need to mark the other crowd's key man, and even ourselves, we're trying to play to the best of our ability and try and get the team across the line. But 21's level, it's actually brilliant to play. And sadly, it's me and Aaron's last year in the wedge, you know. But it's nice to go out in a high, but compared to senior level, it's just go out, play off the cuff, and it's unreal. Like, you know, you can't actually describe it here. I can't even say what it's like to go out and play. And Pat let us out 15 and 15 and just hurl. And it's important that we keep it going. There's no point going back to any other strategies or any other way of playing. It's just brilliant, like.
And from your own point of view, we saw less of the forward runs. You were kind of minding the house a little bit. You know, we saw you land. I saw you in the full back line at one stage. I can't remember what game it was, but that playing deep, which is very different to your senior role, say, how did that appeal to you?
Look, you work 110% work rate, no matter what, like wherever you're playing. But Joe, you'll track a run. No matter where it is or what part of the pitch is, I know sometimes when I'm back in the backs, I could be doing anything. Sometimes I'm daydreaming there, like, but I was back there a few times against Cork now, and, you know, it's then small little things that make a difference. If you see someone in the full forward lane, back in the full back lane, working hard, you know things are going to go well, that you're working for each other. And luckily enough, we got over the line, but as they said, like, it could have gone anyway.
So. Yeah, and you were also on the 2015 team, and you got a player, a team of the year position that particular year. Yeah. Is this different? Is it better? Is it worse?
The first time winning All-Ireland is always sweet, like, but, you know, it's unreal here tonight again. But Limerick hurling, we need to kind of drive on senior level. You know, it's very easy sit back and enjoy this and sit back in the laurels, like, but it's about time we stepped up and joined the boys, like, you know, joined the Galways, the Waterfords, Kilkenny's, the Tips. Sean, as Kyle said a while ago, like, two championship games last year, we're training since October, November, you know, you want to be playing more, and that's why the new setup is. It's going to suit us, and it's going to suit other teams that need more games to experience senior hurling, like, do you know?
Okay, okay. Well, the best of luck with that next year. And for the moment, Gurmagath, Aaron, Declan and Cian, well done. So finally, into the full forward line, and our nominees for top of the right were Billy Ryan from Kilkenny, Patrick Curran from Waterford and Conor Whelan from Galway, and the winner, Conor Whelan from Galway. At full forward, our three nominees were Shane Bennett from Waterford, Cormac O'Doherty from Derry, and Peter Casey from Limerick. And the winner, Peter Casey. And finally, at number 15, our three nominees were Tom Monaghan from Galway, Cathal Dunbar from Wexford, and Barry Nash from Limerick. And the winner, Thomas Monaghan from Galway. So, well done again, Conor. You've had some year. Yourself and Joe, I'd say, have had a couple of good weeks. What's it been like in Galway the last wee while?
Not too bad, I suppose. I know it's just been very special, I suppose. 29 years is a very long time to wait, and I suppose it's just nice to finally bridge that gap, I suppose.
You had to, I suppose, divide your time. You knew you were preparing for a senior final, and you had to take on an under-21 semi-final. Did that prove a distraction at all?
I don't think it did, really, to be honest. I suppose we didn't quite know what sort of a team we had until we went down to Thurles against Limerick, and we knew Limerick were a very strong team, and I suppose we just gave it a proper lash. Limerick beat us by about 20 points, I'd say, when we were minor, so we just kind of wanted to go and lay down a marker, really. And I suppose I think we've done that, really. You know, we came up short in the end, but I think we gave a good old account of ourselves, really. You know,
and I suppose no more than Cian talking a minute ago about that senior under-21 difference is in a way like, maybe just describe the differences in your view.
Well, there's no sweepers anyway, first of all. No, I suppose it's just different coming back, playing alongside lads who you were playing with when you were under 14 and under 16, I suppose it's nice. I suppose from a physical perspective, it's mostly the same, really. Limerick were a strong team, and they were much the same as Waterford were in the final. Like, so from that perspective, it was mostly the same, really, to be honest.
Peter, you were one of the 10 starters in the final this year who started the 2014 minor final. And I know that wasn't a good day for Limerick. So again, this probably made it a little bit sweeter, beating Kilkenny.
Yeah, it did, I suppose. And I suppose at the start of the game, we didn't really focus really too much on that, but more so the dressing room afterwards. You know, we remember that so well. Like, you know, everyone's so sad afterwards. So I think this year we made up for it. And I suppose playing Kilkenny in the final again made it that bit more sweeter. Like, but, you know, so yeah, look, it was brilliant to finish the year on a great high.
And Pat has been mentioned a couple of times here. Just, you know, he obviously had been involved at the underage structure and managing the minor team last year. But how does he navigate his way through a dressing room full of 20-year-olds and try and keep manners on them and try and get them to play to a game plan and to, I suppose, get his ideas out there onto the field?
Yeah, I suppose it was tough for him, I suppose, and the rest of management, especially when there's so many senior players come back down to 21s, you know. So, but I think the one thing that they did so well was they just took it game by game. You know, there was no looking ahead towards Munster finals or All Ireland finals. It was game by game. You know, we focused on Tip first, we Clare next, and Cork, and every game was faced with the same challenge, you know. So, and I think, to be fair to Pat and to the management team, they all did exceptionally well throughout the year.
Thomas Connors already said you didn't really know what sort of a team that you had coming down. That is the big disadvantage, which hopefully will be gone for next year's campaign. So coming in and coming so close as you did, what do you make now after the 60 minutes you played against Limerick in the semi-final?
Well, I suppose we kind of, in a way, it was a bit of an advantage, I thought, just in a way, coming in against Limerick. You know, we were kind of, all the odds were against us. Even people in our own county were kind of saying, look at the minors and the seniors are in the final. Forget about the under-21s. But, you know, that wasn't really our attitude. We wanted to kind of join the minors and seniors in All-Ireland as well. So from point of view, Limerick didn't really know a whole lot about us, and we had kind of seen plenty of them. So we were looking forward to the test, like, of going up against them. Now, saying that, I still think next year, you know, it'll be a lot better, like, We'll be playing earlier in the year, maybe, you know, better conditions sort of May around then, you know. We'll be looking forward to it anyway. We'll be looking forward to getting into Leinster, and I suppose it's kind of, look at it this way, if we're good enough now to make an All-Ireland semi-final, we'll make it, whereas before now, we were kind of just put into the All-Ireland semi-final from the start, whereas now I think we get to try and earn the right to get into it, and the team will obviously develop and progress then if we can get that far.
Yeah, I suppose while you were looking at the likes of Peter and Limerick playing those really tough matches, you had nothing. You had training sessions and maybe the odd challenge. So it must have been hard to get fellas pitch right, you know, for taking on a massive challenge, which it was in the end.
It was hard. Like, you'd be playing challenge matches, all right, and you'd be playing your in-house games, which kind of get you up to the pace of it, but you don't really know still what way you're going to turn up in Thurles. Then obviously you'd be a bit nervous and that pressure would be there playing an All-Ireland semi-final. So for that reason, I think it's going to be good that we'll get to come in at a provincial championship stage like every other team. And, you know, it's kind of up to ourselves now next year to prove ourselves.
And I just ask you a final one. Bearing in mind the lack of preparation and bearing in mind you didn't know what sort of a team you had coming in, like, you just seem to have great fluency. Like, from the start, you just seem to really flow for a team that had so little done in competitive terms. How does that sort of momentum gather in a game?
Well, I suppose there was plenty of work done, you know. We were a well-prepared team and, you know, Francis Ford there, the training, the senior team as well, had a lot of work done with us and kind of we played the seniors in a few challenges and that sort of way. So there was kind of a link between the two of them. You know, a few of the under-21s went in with the seniors when there was injuries or short in numbers. So kind of the buzz or the stuff that the seniors were kind of doing was filtering down through to the under-21 setup as well. So there was kind of a link between the two of them.
All right. Well, thanks to the three of you, to Connor, to Peter and to Thomas. Well done. And thanks to Joe. So he's been name-checked a few times already this evening, and we'd invite Pat Donnelly, the manager of the Limerick team, to come up for a few words. Please give him a welcome. Well, Pat, you've heard all this wonderful praise for your managerial style, and go on, just talk a little bit about this group of lads, because in fairness, if you were going to win the All-Ireland this year, you were going to have to earn it.
Yeah, thanks, Micheál. We were going to have to earn it. We knew when we were given that job. First of all, I'd like to say there's the management team. We have worked very, very hard. We had a very, very hard-working management team, coached excellently by Mike Kiley. Very professional in what he did. Everything was spot on and really was a professional setup. We knew it was difficult, but I think what set the tone for the year was we played in the under 25 championship. We entered that. It was only Clare and Waterford entered as well. And we had 38 of a panel, and we used all the panel, bar one lad who was injured. He was picked, but he was injured. And it set the tone for the year. We won that championship. We had Paddy Ahern got 3 goals in the first match. Oisin O'Reilly got 3 goals in the second match in the final. And I think it put pressure on the lads who were on the senior panel. They knew that the standard was high, and they knew they were coming into a panel that they were going to have to work every bit as hard as they had to make the team, because there was no guaranteed places. And I think, to me, that was the difference this year. The lads were after winning. A lot of the lads were after winning an All-Ireland 2 years ago. So it's not easy to have that hunger, you know, coming forward. But I think that win set the tone for what we had, for what we ended up with a very good year.
You laid out the team without without 6 forwards. I suppose you played effectively with 5 forwards and then people coming through from midfield largely. So that was really effective. I mean, I suppose it gave the opposition little time. In other words, you were trusting your forwards to get the scores if they got the quality ball, and you knew you were able to kind of suck the life out of the opposition forwards. I mean, that was obviously something you set out and you stuck loyally to from the beginning.
Yeah, we worked very much on delivering the ball quickly into the forwards. If you ask me at the start of the year, where were we going to end up finding backs to match the forwards we thought we had? And at the end of the day, the 6 backs that started played all the games. So the foundation was laid on those 6 lads who played all the championship matches. And once we had that foundation, the delivery from half-backs midfield into the forwards was... We knew we had lads inside there who were definitely capable of scoring.
The physicality of the game, there was also noticeable. You know, you beat a young Tipperary team starting out and then beat Clare pretty comfortably. Then when you got to Cork, I just felt that was a game that Cork were able to match you physically, and that maybe that was a stumbling block for you, even though you got over the line. Would you go along with that?
Yeah, I would agree with it to a point. I think Cork played a sweeper system that night. And I think when teams do that, they're showing you a lot of respect. We had a 7-point lead, I think, after 10 minutes, and I think that was in most of our matches we got a good lead. As I think it was Robbie said already, every team is going to get a purple patch. I think that goal just before half time kept Cork in the game. We matched them physically, and I think, as I said already, we have forwards who can score, and we can score from any position. We had half packs coming up scoring as well as midfielders. So it wasn't based on any one line of the field. It was based from all over the field.
I just want to ask you, was there a moment like, to me, looking at it from the outside, and as I say, I was at all the games, even in the tight matches, you always looked like you'd a little bit, you'd enough for the opposition. Like, 2 points against Cork is nothing, but you still looked, in my view, that you were going to win it. And in the All-Ireland semi-final against Galway, I felt if any team was going to get the scores, it was going to be ye. But was there at any stage that you felt nervous that this thing was maybe not going to the plan?
If I'm being honest, Michal, I didn't really feel it. I didn't feel it. I felt we always had something, and we had subs, which was hugely important. We were able to bring on lads in different positions who made an impact. And sometimes you can bring on a player and he makes an impact and he doesn't do it the next day. But we had fellas who were coming on consistently, doing the job all the time. So that proved very fruitful in all our wins. The subs, and I keep going on about the panel of players, and if you don't have that, if you don't have competition for places, you're not going to win a championship. And we were lucky, we were fortunate to have a lot of players who were capable of starting on that team.
In the seat 2 years ago, John Kiely, the current senior manager, was there, and he was describing the team that had won the All-Ireland. You have a team now that's after adding another All-Ireland, but yet we know that there's no guarantees when you push people through from under 21 that any senior success is going to follow. So what do you think is the next step for Limerick Curling at senior, taking into account the two under 21 teams that have won?
Yeah, the team that won the three in a row, going back in time, they've been mentioned on numerous occasions in the past couple of weeks as well. I don't think the structures were in place that time. I think now the structures are in place to bring these lads forward. I just see a difference in their discipline, in their mentality, in their approach to everything. They've been brought up with a county development squad since under 14, and the days of jerseys being taken and stupidity going on is all gone now, because they're used to all this hype and all this praise, and they're just taken in their stride. And I think Limerick is in a good position. I mentioned it before, you look at all these lads, most of these lads with Hearty Cup medals, Munster Minor medals, Munster Under 21, All-Ireland 21, the profile is there now, and it's up to them now if they want to push on. And I think that the senior setup is very, 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 very good in Limerick, and I think that's the difference than it was previously.
Okay, and I suppose, you know, on a final note, we're all friends here, Pat, you know. The pressure is off. There must have been the odd blowout that happened during the campaign that you can finally tell us all about this evening.
No, we'd only one misdemeanour, I'd say, that we know of. These lads are very good at disguising them. We had one lad who was away at a concert, and he put his Snapchat up, and he didn't think I'd see it, but I got it from somebody else. And I rang him that evening, and I told him he shouldn't have it up on Snapchat. It wasn't appropriate for our team, and he took it down that night. He must have got brave again the following night, and he put up another one. So we didn't say anything to him. We waited with Tuesday night, and we brought in Liam Rail. Liam Rail is involved in the academy. He's an athlete, and the same player spent an hour. He saw every inch of grass in the Gaelic grounds. And I think it was probably the best way of dealing with that situation.
Well done, Pat. Gurmil Margaret, and congratulations. All right. Okay. That's a great story, Pat. Thanks a million. So now we're coming to the final stages of the evening. And before we announce the A player of the year, I just ask Ger and Ken and Joe just to join me up on the stage, just so we discuss the various nominees for the A player of the year. So the player of the year nominations, five players in total. Four from Limerick, one from Kilkenny. So the four Limerick nominees were Kyle Hayes, Aaron Gillan, Peter Casey, and Sean Finn, and Conor Delaney, the sole representative from Kilkenny. So go on, Ger, kick it off there.
Very difficult, Michal. We, you know, sitting down to pick the Player of the Year nominations, but I think the five names we've come up with, I think, were the standout players from my point of view anyway in the championship this year. I think you can make a case for every single one of them during the year in relation to their performances, and you know, they were really impressive, and they're actually worthy nominations.
Ken, we have backs, backs and forwards there, really. So, you know, what do you look out for when you're trying to pick one player?
You're obviously looking over the whole championship. It's not on one game. You're looking probably to see the most consistent player or the standout player. And look, Limerick had a lot of them this year. And as we said, it could have been even, there was, I think, 8 Limerick lads on the team. It could even be more on it. But you're looking for a standout player, a leader, a lad who's dominating games. And every one of them lads that were nominated done that at different stages over the year. And you're looking for consistency as well. And I suppose, look, we said it a few times, it's this is all great, and it's a great thing to have for the lads, and it's brilliant. This one around when I was playing on 21, and it's a brilliant thing for them. But it should be used as a stepping stone for them and build on that and really go on. There's the potential in this room of all anyone on this team to be a star in the scene in the future, like Joe, and be a top class senior inter-county player. And that's what they should do. Build on today. You haven't made it yet. This is the start of your career, and the next 10 years could be the best 10 years of your life if you take your opportunities, because I'd love to have it back, you know. I said I'd love to be 21, be up here and heading to Copperface Jacks after with all the lads. But look, as I said, the years go like that, you know, so you have to take it on board, and as Pat said, enjoy it. But it's a springboard. It's a springboard to be the next Joe or to win another senior medal, you know. So.
And Joe, I suppose these awards are kind of dangerous in a way as well, aren't they? You know, if you're picking one player and the one player is the person who gets the slaps on the back, you kind of just need to guard against any sort of complacency later on.
Yeah, but it's still, if you're picked, you obviously deserve it. You know, it's it was a tough job trying to even pick the five, as the guys were saying. And, you know, sometimes it's funny with a team sport to pick one player, because without the rest of the guys, obviously he wouldn't have got the award in the first place. So, as the boys were saying, we look for, I suppose, the guy that was most consistent throughout the year, and that's the key word. I think consistency, not great or not too bad. You know what I mean? He always stood up when the pressure was on, and. Throughout the five guys that's nominated, I think they all stood up when the pressure was on in every game, and that's very important. That shows the difference between good and great players, you know.
And I suppose, Ger, maybe just one note on it. You know, Kilkenny were the second best team in the country after Limerick, only one nominee from that county. They had a great campaign. Okay, the final didn't go their way. Will they feel a little bit aggrieved not to have more?
I don't think so, Michal. I think if anything, I think, you know, I suppose with the quality of Limerick during the year, you know, as Ken said, any of the 8 guys could have been nominated. We had to shortlist it. I think in fairness to Conor Delaney, he had a super year. He was very consistent, as the lads said, all through in all the games. But when we tried to narrow it down to pick the best players and the most consistent players in all the matches, I think Limerick dominated, and they had 4 on it, and well deserved. And you know, you could have made a case for some of the other lads. Again, it's a difficult one. You know, Galway had 1 game, Cork had 2 games, Waterford had 1 game. You know, so it's not easy to pick. So we kind of look from a consistency point of view, who were the better players, who played well all the way through. So that's what I came down to.
And before we announce the winner, there was a B player of the championship, which that award went to Shane Conway of Kerry. Unfortunately, Shane isn't able to travel to be with us this evening. But, Ger, go on, we'll let you lead to the VT then for the A player.
Will we take a look?
We'll take a look. Player of the Year, the under-21 Borgosh Energy Player of the Year, Aaron Galland from Limerick. Well done, Aaron. Sit here. Well done, Aaron. You can take a seat there. And we have a microphone for you. Well done.
Thanks a million.
This is the kind of the cream and the cake, I'd say, is it?
Yeah, it's a nice way to finish off the year now, right? The fact that we won the All-Ireland, like, you think you can't get much better than that, but look, this is just a personal thing. It's an honour, like, but yeah, win the All-Ireland is just the best feeling ever, and I think I said after the match, it hadn't really sank in, but the last few weeks and you're at home doing nothing and you think, like, you watch back over the match and stuff, it's unreal, like, stuff you dream of.
Okay. Anyone want to jump in there? Just, I suppose, in particular, Joe, Aaron's role this year within the Limerick setup. I know you spoke briefly about it earlier on.
I suppose the first time, he probably just noticed, the first time I saw him was last year in a club game, I think against Kilmallock with Patrick Swell against Kilmallock in the Limerick Senior Hurling Championship, and he scored a heap that day as well. I was down watching a few of the Kilmallock lads that I'm good friends with, and I didn't realise that he was so young that day. I had to ask after the match, to be honest. I thought he was a veteran, but as we said, he was consistent throughout the year. You know, the standout moment was obviously the 14 points he scored early on in the championship. But as I said, when the pressure came on and you needed a score, he was there. He was there to do it. And even so, some of the more senior players were the kind of, I suppose, the star names. He performed head and shoulders above everybody else, you know.
And Ken, I suppose, you know, it is a team effort, but you do need to, your main men need to fire. And Aaron, who maybe came in a little bit under the radar at the beginning of the year, you know, he came out tops at the end of it. And I mean, that's credit to his character.
Yeah, it's credit. Look, it's a team game, but you have to accept these awards and you have to take it the right way. And I loved the way Aaron spoke after Aaron final. Straight afterwards, you were saying, look, it was great, but you wanted to push on into the Limerick senior setup next year. And to me, that's what I love to see. You're not getting carried away. Look, I don't know what you're like with your mates now later on, but you know, you were very brilliant season, very, very consistent all year. Show great leadership, great skill, did stuff that you probably didn't expect at times off the cuff hurl, and some of the scores you got were top class. And well done, well deserved. And I hope you push on, and I'll carry to see you in the senior next couple of years.
Here's right. Jared, the final word to you. You know, okay, Aaron had a brilliant year. Limerick had a brilliant year. You know, what can Limerick look forward to now in 2018, do you think?
Yeah, from an under-21 point of view, it's all back in the pot again next year. You know, it's slightly different next year with the Munster and Leinster, both the winners and losers going forward to the semi-finals. So again, it's optimism looking forward to next year. You know, this year is over. You know, they can celebrate it in relation to winning an All-Ireland. It's fantastic. But again, that's the beauty of competition. All the names go back into the hat and the cup goes back next year, and we look forward to the challenges again next year.
All right. Well, well done to Aaron. Well done to Pat. Well done to the Limerick team, All-Ireland champions for the sixth time. Okay. Still here in a second. Okay, folks. So I think that brings us to the conclusion of this part of the evening. So there'll be plenty of opportunities, as I say, for photographs as the evening goes on. A couple of thank yous. I thought I might get a list, but I didn't. But I'm just going to, off the cuff, I'm going to thank our hosts here, the GAA, for supporting this event. I'd like to thank the whole team at Bord Gáis Energy and at PSG for all of their help. I'd like to thank the lads for all of the work that's been going on during the summer, keenly watching all of the performances that have been taking place. The players, all of you and your families and your friends who have come up here and made the effort to travel to Dublin on a Monday evening. It can't have been easy, I know. Okay, so thanks again to Ger, to Ken and to Joe and to all of you for being here. Agus go déisimh slán, agus go mbeirmí beo ar an am seo ríos. Gur maith.
Don't forget, you can check out the full video of the Bord Gáis Energy Under-21 Hurling Team of the Year Awards at the Bord Gáis Energy GAA Facebook page and see at BGEGAA on Twitter or hashtag Hurling to the Core for more.
Off the Ball
on Newstalk,
in association with the Air Sport app, allowing you to cast your favourite sporting action from your tablet or mobile phone straight to your TV.